This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Your number, 877-217-5757. In studio, two seasoned financial analysts, Brian Lowe and Fred Dent, both of whom are underwriters. Brian's been at this for more than 20 years, and Fred for more than 30. Dent Asset Management is his company, and Brian Lowe Financial is Brian's, and they're two of the most vivid and visible and audible financial analysts in the area, and they have been recognized near and far for their work. And right now, we're nearing the first quarter end, and last year was a bad year on Wall Street. This year started off better, but the Dow, as we speak, down a little bit in early trading. It's at 25,662. It's up from about 20,000 when President Trump took office, but if Trump were to keep pace with President Obama, who served two terms, and if President Trump were in office 8 years, it would have to be at 60,000 for President Trump to equal the performance of the Dow under his predecessor. And so some people still believe in stocks fervently. We know one of them is a guest on this show many times, Andy Anderson, 100% in stocks. And these gentlemen are more diversified, but they do have stocks as part of their arsenal. And let's start there. Brian Lowe, is it a good time to stay in or stay on the sidelines or get out completely when you look at the stock market and its volatility?
Well, everybody will be in a different situation, so it'd be where are you in your life? And as you're getting older, we would say we use the rule of 100. So if you're 60, you probably shouldn't have any more than 40% in the market. If you're 70, maybe no more than 30. And if you're 80, probably no more than 20. So, you know, we teach financial planning to, I say, the mom and pops, income planning. We do income planning. We want to find ways to lower your risk, increase your income, and ensure you don't have to go back to work. So different people in the business specialize in different things. So I specialize in what we call income planning to help ensure you don't run out of money.
And, Fred, how do you see it?
Well, you know, I know you like anniversaries, Jim. You called me. We had a phone conversation when I had my 30-year anniversary, which was the day of the crash in 1987 when I started. But this week is another anniversary. It's the 10th year anniversary of the week that the market bottomed out, March 9th, 2009. March 8th, I think.
10 years ago.
And I want to give you a little thought experiment just for a second real quick to put this in perspective. That was a grueling time 10 years ago. The market was down 56% from its high. Unemployment was over 8%, and it really felt like the world was coming to an end. The investor gets exhausted. Let's say they just go to sleep for 10 years, mm-hmm. and they don't pay any attention, but they wake up 10 years now, later, today, and they run to their computer. Well, the S&P 500 is up 305% from the bottom. You go, what in the world happened? And a friend of yours pulls out a list and says, well, when you fell asleep, the iPhone was only 18 months old. Now they've sold $1.7 billion. You can now have Uber. You can have all of these services. Unemployment is down to 3.8%. The world has changed and it's gotten better. So as calamitous as that felt at the time, things got better. And so whatever happens now, whatever it feels like, it's going to change 10 years from now.
Well, there are always naysayers and there are always optimists when it comes to the market. Sometimes, of course, people are right. Sometimes they're wrong and pay a huge price for being wrong. But we do have some conditions that are not favorable long term. We have interest rates going up. The deficit continues to be a huge problem. The president just unveiled a $4.7 trillion budget, and we're going to have about $1 trillion deficit for this year. So with those in the forefront right now, not the background, but the forefront, are we headed for doom, or is this just part of the process?
Doom is always on the horizon. There is always a reason not to be invested in the great businesses of the world. So whatever it is right now that's on the horizon that we're afraid of, if you own good businesses, the big names of the world that are solving problems for humans all around the globe, and you hold them, you're going to do fine, regardless of all those things that you just mentioned.
877-217-5757 is your number, and your email if you'd like to send an email for distinguished guests, Brian Lowe and Fred Dent, talk@talklouisiana.org. Brian, by the way, will be at the Jones Creek Library tonight. He does this every now and then in conjunction with the library. And Monday, which library?
Goodwood.
Goodwood Library. And he does seminars that are not in any way devoted to any particular point of view other than the fact that he believes that if you're a certain age, that was something you brought up, your strategy should be different than others. And some of these financial advisors believe that one size fits all. If you sign up with them, no matter whether you're 45 or 75, you're going to have the same strategies, you're going to have the same portfolio. Both of you guys have a different point of view. Brian, how do you do it?
Well, I say we're Brett, Fred and I are both independent, so we both have a longstanding opinion of that, where I always say it's the CEO problem, you know. So these big name companies out there, they're all great big name companies. At the same time, it's not the nice person you're working with, it's who is he working for. So I came from the big banks. Personally, Chase Bank was a great place to get started. And I found out real quick they had to put us into models, into products, so that it forced me to do suitability in product versus being a fiduciary. So Fred and I are both fiduciaries in the sense that we're going to think about your situation and put you in the right solutions. There's too many people out there just driving product. And I think everybody out there is trying to get into the business. When you look at your insurance companies, even the State Farms and the Allstates, they give these guys products now. So a 40-year veteran will sit there and tell you that works for that company, look, with his own money, he doesn't want to do those products, because he comes to me and says, mm-hmm. I don't want my wife getting pushed by these young aggressive brokers into the product of their company. So they worked there 40 years. So that should prove it to you that there's a universe of other options out there to help grow and protect your money and not just work with a product base.
Now, more people are invested in the stock market now than ever before, and many of them in mutual funds and probably unaware of exactly what stocks they have. Are you a fan of the mutual funds, Fred?
Or? We use mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, but one of the things that we do in a client meeting is we do an X-ray presentation that shows deeper than the mutual fund names what the actual holdings are in those funds. And so you'll typically see names like Amazon, Johnson & Johnson, big companies. And when people see that, it helps them sink their mind into what they actually own, because most of those companies are products and services that they use in their day-to-day lives.
And what's your strategy?
But there's actually this tool we use, he's called the X-rays. We might be using the same tool, but ultimately it's going to give them a risk number. So whether it's Berkshire Hathaway or Apple, we'll figure out how much risk is in that one portfolio or that one stock or that one mutual fund or that one ETF. And I'll be frank with you, you know, if I asked you today, do you know what your risk number is? The average person driving out there would not know what the risk number is. So why don't you? You should probably come in, see Fred, see somebody like me, and find out what your true risk number is. Does it match your values? And let's talk about your values. What's most important to you? Let's rank those values in orders, whether it's growth, safety, income, leaving a legacy to your family. You know, if you start talking about your values, we'll figure out what your solutions should be.
All right. Beverly on Bluebonnet asked a question about investment strategies. You deal with families, and quite often there's more than one person making the call. What do you do when, say, the wife and husband disagree?
We bring them in, and we have a meeting, and we reconcile that. We have a unique process to facilitate that, actually.
Really?
Absolutely. And these meetings where we work with a husband and a wife sometimes involve tears, and they involve, you know, we have a box of Kleenex on the table. But by the time they leave, everybody's on the same page, where they have enunciated that which is important to them and what they need to do in order to get that.
Is it important, Brian, to have people on the same page if they have a portfolio that affects both of them?
Every now and then, they won't be on the same page, but I think it is important to talk about both sets of values and try to get them to come together, because you're both trying to head in the right direction. So, you know, is it possible, if you've been married for 20, 30 years, that you don't agree on everything? God, we can laugh about that, right? So when it comes to money, the man could be more aggressive. The woman is concerned about the market, running out of money. Godly, there was a physician 20 years ago that, you know, his portfolio went down $600,000 at some point in time with a big box firm, and she was concerned about running out of money, and he was pretty cool, calm, and collected, and said, we're going to stay the course. Well, guess what happened? The market came back. They got all the money back, and, you know, at that point in time, they did reduce their risk at that time. So he was also 10 years older in a different part of his life, so his values had changed. So the old system that he was using with 90% of the market, as you were talking about stocks, that wasn't the right position to be anymore. He did reduce his risk from there.
Jeff on I-10 in Baton Rouge. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. Hi, Jim. Thanks for letting me on. Just want to say how important it is to get good advice. And that Fred Dent, I had a client that was practically a homeless person. He inherited a little bit of money, about $250,000, and Fred took him under his wing. The guy lived literally off that money for the rest of his life, and when he passed away, his brother inherited all the money and a little bit more.
All right. You certainly don't want to outlive your money, do you?
No, and that's one of the risks. When we're talking about a risk number and what you're willing to tolerate in terms of volatility, what most people don't realize is that they have a risk of running out of their money. So if they put their money in a mattress and they don't even beat inflation, then they're eroding their purchasing power over time. And there's a very real risk of that. So when Brian mentioned a little while ago about the number of using your age minus this and that formula, that's one way to look at it. We look at the lifelong risks.
We'll have another segment with Brian Lowe and Fred Dent. Your number 877-217-5757. Two seasoned investment strategists, and there is volatility, as there usually is on Wall Street. We'll talk about it when we return. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number again, 877-217-5757. If you have a question about investment strategy, we have two people who do this for a living and have for well over two decades, Fred Dent and Brian Lowe. Again, 877-217-5757 is your number. And, of course, as we note, more people are in the market now than ever before. It is, of course, easy to get in, but some people have much more invested than others. And over the last few years, the stock in the Dow component that has done best is Boeing. And you can imagine Boeing has taken it on the chin the last few days with its big plane now grounded in all parts of the world until further notice. Today, surprisingly, it's only down 3 points. What would you say, this is a question from Hal in Monroe, for somebody sitting on the sidelines and wondering whether this is a good time to get in for Boeing?
I would say get out of that guessing game. What you really need to focus on is what is that you want out of your financial life. Really look at the big picture, not about the little wigs and wags and the zigs and the ziggles of what a stock is going to do, and say, what do I want? Do I have the means to get it? And am I prepared for life's surprises? That's what a true financial plan will do, is set out a process so that you can make course corrections along the way and not really be attuned to what the market is going to do in the next wiggle.
All right. Here's a question from Tom on Blue Bonnet. He says, the national debt, according to one report, and I've seen this, could top $100 trillion by 2037 if Congress doesn't continue to, or if it does continue to allow deficit spending. It's at $22 trillion now, by the way. Does this have any impact at all on the market?
Well, sure. You know, taxes will go up. The question is, we've all seen people sit back and not do anything in cash for 5, 10-plus years. I can't believe it. They didn't make anything. So even at a CD today at 3%, at least do something. There's alternatives out there paying 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. No one said you had to get in the market. There's some alternatives even paying 8. So we all have the concern of taxes going up. But if you're sitting out there waiting for an opportunity, knowing taxes will go up, the cost of living just keeps going up over time. So you're not doing anything with your money. You got to move forward.
I would imagine just the nature of the beast, both of these gentlemen handle people with sizable portfolios. But Melissa, who's a college student at LSU, asks whether a college student should invest whatever they have at this point in the market.
Absolutely, and keep it simple. Buy the S&P 500 exchange-traded fund and make regular contributions into that, and then don't pay attention to it. Just let it grow.
Go in and out, day trader.
Yeah, you're not going to make – it's a losing proposition.
Well, over time, is it better to buy a stock and sit on it, or should you move in and out depending on market conditions and how the stock is faring?
The old school thought was to buy and hold, but today, like Warren Buffett would say, you buy, you make something, you get out, and you move on. So will that company be there in 30, 40 years? Well, opportunity will be there. There's always new opportunities facing us ahead, so – ultimately, don't sit on that stock forever.
Well, if Andy Anderson were here, as he's been several times, he would say that over time, the stock market has outperformed everything else. And I think he's right. But it depends on when you hit it and how you handle it. And, of course, we know those horror stories about people, Fred, who got out 10 years ago after the market bottomed out. And they didn't get back in until the market had gone back up. So is it always better to hold, or do you occasionally say, look, it's time to pull back?
when our client, first of all, our clients who were invested prior to 10 years ago, we set the stage in advance that this was a potential something that could happen. And when it did, it didn't feel good to anyone. We wrote it out, and our clients are doing significantly better than they were even before the market came down. But we didn't put the money that they would need in the next 2 or 3 years into the market. We would keep a little buffer there so that they would have money to live on, and then they were able to ride it out. All of our clients stayed the course. It wasn't easy for all of them because it was grueling, but I'm happy to say that they made it through.
And also, Fred is also trying to say, too, there's different buckets of money, so you don't put all your eggs in one bucket. Like you don't put it all, like you said, Andy would do 100% stock. Fred's saying, hey, have some in cash. Is it 10, 15% cash? Have some money in the 1 to 5 year bucket and the 5 to 10 year bucket. So ultimately, we call that the bucketing strategy.
All right. Tracy at the Capitol says that $22 trillion debt is manageable, considering that Microsoft and Apple and Amazon are all worth singularly almost $1 trillion in market value by themselves. But at what point does the debt become a real concern?
It is a real concern right now, and this too is passing. It seems like a cataclysmic thing. It seems like it's something that's going to wipe us all out, and yet somehow it will be solved, just like all of the other crises that we face in the history of our country.
So you're saying you're concerned, but you're not alarmed? Is that basically the point of view?
I don't think, other than maybe in the first couple of years of being in the investment business when I didn't know any better, I haven't really been alarmed about anything. We take it in stride. It's business as usual. We set out with a plan. We stay the course. We make course corrections as necessary depending upon the client's life-changing circumstances, not depending upon where the market is or whatever the apocalypse du jour is.
Ryan?
Well, we talk about the issue of debt. Well, sure. How about Social Security? They say by, 2030, the projected runout date, it won't be there. But, hey, yeah, there's debt. It won't be paid off, but the government's going to keep printing those checks. If people were collecting disability payments weren't getting paid, or even people that had Social Security got $100 less, they're going to be upset. Mm-hmm. So I got to believe they're going to keep printing that money, manage the debt going forward. No matter what the number is, as it gets bigger, manage it going forward.
All right. Zach downtown says he listens to a fellow named Dave Ramsey, nationally syndicated talk host, and that Ramsey's strategy, I think anybody who's listened to him once or twice knows exactly what it is. It's to get out of debt. So if Ramsey believes, if you've got the money, pay off your home mortgage, pay off your car debt, get out of debt and not worry about investing until you're out of debt. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. I had a woman in my office the other day who had just gotten a big settlement from a lawsuit, and she asked me if she should pay off her mortgage. And I said, what's your interest rate? And she said 3.5%. I said, do it today, because it's as if you're getting a risk-free rate of return of 3.5% on your money, like a CD or something like that, just by paying off that debt, because otherwise you'd have to pay that interest.
But some people, Fred and Brian, believe they can get 10 or 15% in the stock market if they do it well.
Good luck. Margin is a double-edged sword. I've never seen leverage work reliably. It always backfires unless you – I don't know who's done it successfully. We stay away from it.
Well, even Lauren Scott has said that some debt is okay, that it's okay to have a car note and a house mortgage if you're employed. And that you perhaps should take that money and invest it and see what happens.
Let's say this is all relative to age, too. What age are we talking about? Are you 25 coming out of college and have a lot of debt and you're getting married and have a baby? But are you 55 or 65 trying to retire and you got $30,000 left on your mortgage? Do you pay off the mortgage because you got a 401k of $1.2 million? Or do you just pay it off in 5 years? So those are all the big questions. There's no one answer for everybody out there, but to manage the debt and to get the debt paid off as soon as possible. We do believe in that, but, you know, leveraging the money over time.
Here's one from Dave in New Iberia asking how much money is on the sidelines right now, or is there really several trillions of dollars that are available for investment that people are just holding right now and waiting?
A lot of cash on the sidelines. I don't know the number, but I think that people are, in essence, more afraid these days than they are enthusiastic. And that fear creates cash on the sidelines for people to wait to get into the market. The problem is when the market goes down by 20%, they say, well, I'm going to keep holding because it's going to get worse. And boom, it goes back up.
So that's the time to buy, right?
Exactly. But it's always the right time to buy the market if your priorities are straight and you have a plan in place.
Is it good to keep a lot of cash, or should it be some cash combined with other investments?
On the percentage basis, 10 to 15% of your money in cash for that opportunity that may come up.
10 to 15%. Fred?
It depends also. You want to have an emergency fund, but you also want to have a couple of years of spending. If you're in retirement and you're taking income out of the portfolio, then in addition to your investments, you want to have that additional cash that allows you to ride those gullies out.
Well, we thank you for your expertise, and it's always a pleasure to catch up with two gentlemen who know the lay of the land when it comes to investment strategy. And Fred and Brian largely agree.
It's kind of boring, isn't it?
Bring Andy back.
Yeah. Put him right in the middle.
Find six or seven good stocks and go for it. 877-217-5757. Thank you, guys. And a reminder that Brian Lowe will be at the Jones Creek Library tonight at 6 p.m. We'll be back with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, after this pause on Talk Louisiana. Now the news with Karen Henderson.